Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode.
Miles, welcome to the podcast, man. I met you at one of our live events when you brought your whole crew. Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years now. Kind of time flies. But yeah, I think it was right at 2 years, actually. February-ish, January-ish of 23.
And you guys were just kind of open up the floodgates on planning. How long had you been with the team when you came to that event?
So coming to the event, I was around five and a half years in the business and with the team. So this is all I've known, same broker dealer, kind of working with the same group and guys. And so much of my progression was the traditional, you know, do risk planning, you know, parlay that into investment management when it worked. And then now really looking at comprehensive planning is our go-to-market. But 5 years-ish into the business, this was new to the guys that had been in the business 20 years and so, but it was really eye-opening and new to me. But that was sort of the trajectory. And we had a good mix of people from somebody, you know, 25 years in the business down to, I think we had a guy that just started with us a few weeks before. And so How to Charge Live was definitely instrumental in teaching me, you know, about this different way to market our services, but ultimately a better way to do business, I believe.
Yeah. So I wanted to have you on today. If you can give everybody kind of like your high level background, how you got into the business. Cause I know for my practice, I try to find talented advisors to join our team. At times people get excited to join and then they just can't hang in the environment we're creating, which is, I know is the environment you guys are in, which is like, hey, let's work hard, play hard. We're here to get better. You know, if you can't keep up, you know, we're not going to change the whole system to accommodate you. But I'm seeing now with experienced advisors, there's this need, there's a desire, but something's not working consistently enough to bring on new talent and to help them get successful fast to the degree where they actually want to stay on the team. And so when I see what you and Gavin have built and where you're like, I've done it, you're having great success now, I want to get your perspective because I hear from advisors that are the ones that founded the firm and they're trying to bring on new people.
Yeah.
But today I want our listeners to hear from you on like, here's what I think we did well. Here's where I got frustrated. Here's why I didn't bail when it got hard. Just to one, give them some hope, but also for the advisors listening that want to be you, which is, hey, I've gotten through the hardest part of it. I'm making good money and I've kind of hit my stride, but I still have a lot to learn.
Yeah.
What would you tell them at this point? So if you could start just by kind of telling us, you know, how did you came an advisor and what that first 5 years was like?
Yeah. So interesting or fun story for me is that I have no finance background like whatsoever. So, you know, worked in all kind of odd jobs, you know, throughout college and even after college. My degree is actually in international politics. I can read, write, and speak Arabic. That's like a fun icebreaker about me. Always thought that I'd go overseas and work for one of the ABC organizations, alphabet agencies, if you will. And I actually graduated from LSU, moved overseas, spent about 6 months in the Middle East and had an incredible time. But I moved back to Baton Rouge, just sort of longing for home, if you will. And you, my last name is LaRue, L-A-R-U-X. So I'm like Louisiana boy through and through, like Lord willing, I'll die in Louisiana. Yeah. And so if I don't, then like bring me back to Louisiana. And so in that, I just had something in me that was like longing to be back home. And so I came back to Baton Rouge. I was just searching for different things. Gavin and I actually went to church together at the time. And this was before he and his business partner, Jeff, had actually teamed and created the ensemble practice, which is kind of how our broker-dealer refers to teaming. Mm-hmm. And he just said, man, I think you could do this. Like I had no mortgage or kids or anything. I didn't have all the things. So it was like, man, you could come try this sales job. And if it works out, make a little money. If not, well, it's not a big risk. And so so he recruited me to just join on as an independent, like a solo advisor, just like he was and just like Jeff was. So we ran hard at that for about 2 years. And y'all know the kind of the math of like a guy that makes it 2 years or not. And I was like, I hit some milestones, and you know, there's some awards back there that are probably, you know, mattered back then, really around risk planning, like just learning how to sell insurance. And so I had some successes, but by no means was I like this rock star advisor to start. I think a lot of the learning that happened really was after the 2 year mark. So you're just running hard and you wake up and you're like, okay, somehow I'm still here. And about that time, that 2 year mark where I was about to have to start paying for my own office and pick up a staff person and do all those things where they usually subsidize that on the front end, was the, also just happened to be the time that Jeff and Gavin were formally partnering. Mm-hmm. So at that time, they said, hey, do you want to come on as just a W-2 employee, selling, like really a sales sort of advisor? This, we didn't even have a name for it back then, but kind of this pseudo, what you would hear like a service advisor, paraplanner-ish type role. Yep. And so I'm like, W-2 income versus just eating what I kill. This sounds awesome. And I'm like 26 at the time. And so so I joined ranks with them. And I think those first few years of that were really the building blocks of the success I have today. And what I got to do was not a lot of operational business, though I did sometimes when stuff came up. But my role was always like, Miles is going to be a hunter eventually. Like, Miles is going to be one of the premier rainmakers of our firm eventually. But in the meantime, he's going to help design the logo. And he's going to create all our social media accounts and do all the posting. And he's also going to help with operational functions and processes. And oh, by the way, we're adopting this thing called EOS, this whole new operating system that we're going to run with, and he's going to help implement that as well. And so it was like all these hats, but at the heart of it is that I just got to sit in a ton of meetings. So I just got a lot of great at-bats being in the room, in a room that I, you know, generally as a 20-something had no business being in. So seeing guys exit for seven figures, seeing people pass away, and how we handle the estate plan. So I got to learn so many different facets and sort of verticals of our business. And just by happenstance and by just a lot of at-bats and practice, you know, got my CFP along the way and did all the, you know, checked all the boxes that you got to have to really feel confident and have credibility in your own right. But ultimately, you know, built a lot of confidence just being in a ton of great meetings with people. I mentioned sort of the process earlier where one of the partners, Jeff, grew up just on the risk side for many years, only doing insurance planning. Gavin, kind of a two-pronged approach where he was doing both to start. But really, sort of this third avenue of just planning in general is really fresh and was something that's been on our mind. But as a company, as our broker-dealer, just really authorized us and ultimately gave us kind of the, okay, go do this if you can learn how. No real training or how-to. It was just like, okay, your stamp of approval, you can do fee-based planning now. So we started exploring it. And I don't want to go too far down the journey, but that's really what led us to come to visit with you a few years ago.
So going back to the beginning, you were kind of open-minded, but didn't really understand what this industry was.
You were just... you mean like the 8 years ago when I first started? Oh, dude, I didn't know. I was just like, oh, this sounds cool. I'm like, Gavin gets to golf. I suck at golf. Maybe I could be better at golf. And so back then I'm like, you know, he's got a cool life. We'll see. He's like, yeah, you got to pass a life insurance test. And I'm like, what's life insurance? It's like I can tell you all about international conflict and cooperation and, you know, all the conventions that passed all sort of international treaties. I can tell you anything about finance other than some international stuff that I studied. So I was very much very green and just, but what I learned is I, you know, sort of figured out my why along the way. And it was much of my story is how I grew up, with a mom who's a school teacher. You know, we weren't middle class even by any stretch. And so, my relationship with money and finances has always been unique. And then I just didn't have any. So a big part of the journey was just learning how I can impact, you know, man, if my mom probably had a guy like me to go to her 401k enrollment meeting and educate her on why she should be saving in these plans, or, you know, being able to give guidance and help. And maybe I would have had a college fund or something, you know, versus, you know, good luck. Yeah. And so I had this sort of, there was this ethos of the job that that I latched onto pretty early and got to see the real impact that we can, you know, have with individuals, no matter where they fall on the spectrum of wealth.
Yeah, I think I'm finding a theme of advisors that hit this level of success and then keep going, like what Gavin's done. There's a lot of them, they didn't know on day one of what they wanted to be or even what it meant to be a financial advisor. That was my story. I was like, wait, you're going to pay me $100 a week to show up to a meeting? Like, game on. Like, wait, what am I doing again? Which is funny, but also encouraging in that, like, if you're listening and you do not yet have full clarity of your path, that's okay. Most of us didn't. But I do think there's a separation of people that kind of stay on that wandering average path of confusion versus those that are kind of trying to dial in their activity. And it sounds like in your story, I got around the right people that started kind of pulling me up faster than I might have on my own.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because if you think of the traditional kind of joint work arrangement, as our business calls it, and I think, you know, they have different names for it at different wirehouses or broker dealers. But for me to get a guy like Jeff or a guy like Gavin in a meeting with me, I really got to bring my A player to that table and say, hey, man, I set this really good meeting. I'd love for you to come in the conversation. And then the challenge of that as a young guy that's just trying to pay his bills through, you know, eating what you kill, is you give up half the commission on every single one of those things. Yeah. And so being in a team structure, you know, we really created an environment where I was just at the table, got a ton of at-bats. And as a service advisor doing a good bit of the work from those meetings, I was really given a lot of trust and they entrusted with me this kind of the client journey that, hey, they get out of the meeting and now Miles is going to steward these people really well. And now a lot of those people have become sort of some of my primary relationships that I'm the lead guy on. And so we've seen a real transfer of relationships and wealth happen. And even some of those are multi-generational. But to your point, it's kind of like, I don't think anybody graduates college knowing what they want to do unless you know, a brother-in-law who went to med school and he's an anesthesiologist now. And he's like, if I could go back, I'd do X, Y, Z. And even he didn't know, you know, like he knew what he was going to do, but even those guys don't really know. And so in that, I guess I would say when you just wake up and you've been here long enough and you've done the right things for people, I think that God orders your steps, meaning like stuff just starts to work out the way it was supposed to. Things just make sense. You get the meeting with the guy that you never thought you would have got. And then they say yes, and you never thought that they would have become a client. And so I have for sure found a niche in working with business owners and then retirees in the oil and gas market. And so for me, like I'll share this story because this is pretty funny. Right before I came back to Baton Rouge and was like, all in, going to do this job. The New York Giants were playing. They were hosting the Miami Dolphins. So there's a preseason game. My birthday's in August. And Odell, who's obviously a really big athlete. It's crazy. I mentioned his name to some kids and they didn't like know who he was. It's insane that the wave of like new athletes, you know, like they're worried about Jamar Chase and Jefferson. So anyways, stud athlete, one of the best to ever do it. He got me and three friends like field passes for this game. And so we went up to New York and we had a great time. And I'm like, I'm in my mind, oh, I'm getting in this financial advising thing. I'm about to just work with a bunch of athletes. And so my mind was like, oh, I'm going to be the advisor to all these athletes. I got like a couple athlete clients right now. And they're, you know, if they're watching this, I'm sorry, but they're not the best to work with. Okay. Is the honest truth. And anybody that works in that industry understands what I'm talking about. But the point is, like, in my mind, I had, oh, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. And you look up today, and my path has been totally different, still doing great planning and really enjoying what I get to do, but working with a different type of people. Most of my clients are, you know, twice my age. Right. And we choose to work with people in that phase of life. But to your point, if you're young, trying to figure this thing out, I think just stay in the game. Like, keep getting at-bats, keep setting great people, keep building good relationships and doing the right things for people. And then it all, you know, my story isn't over yet by any stretch, but it does all work out for sure.
So as I hear you talk about it, and this is something I've experienced, heard from other advisors, and I think there's two sides of it. One, if you're a senior advisor and maybe you're a solo practitioner and you're saying, hey, for this business to continue, I need help. Or if I want to help more people, my capacity is limited. I need someone else that can deliver advice with me. I think I've run into this idea where somebody joins the team and they just expect a bunch of stuff. Right. I think that by joining an established advisor, it's going to be easier for them. And they take that like, hey, I'm just going to hang out and kind of do what's required of me, the minimum, and eventually this will probably be handed to me. And then there's the other side of it is if you're the person coming in. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I want to join a team or I'm stuck, but I think I'm talented and I want to look for a senior advisor or I want to join the business. And I think if I start on a team, I'll do better faster. Is I think the mindset has to be, how can I bring value right away? And when it sounds like what you did is you were willing to do some things you probably didn't want to do for a while for the good of the whole versus, and I've had some people join my team with this where they're kind of from day one, kind of picky. And I'm like, man, you got to learn it all and you got to work hard and you got to, what would you say to that? Obviously you had with your background, some tenacity, hard work. If you could first speak to the younger people coming in the business, like what would you tell them now? And then to the more senior advisors that are looking for you, how can they handle that when maybe there is this sense of there's not as much grit on day one?
Yeah. Well, grit, you said the word that I was thinking and it's like, for me, it was, it's always been like provide value wherever I can. And so if it was sending the best follow-up email from that meeting, and I didn't even know half this, like I wasn't certified or qualified to even talk about this. I was just like a fly on the wall. Like I'm going to send the best follow-up email that I can send. I'm going to do the best case note that I can do. Do the best follow-up process with our operations team for tasks and CRM, like just doing things well. I think, when you take your leader's mission and you adopt that, whatever it is that's important to them becomes important to you. Like you can't lose in that arena. And what I mean by that is like, I realized, hey, our focus was new AUM. Like, okay, well, if I can offload all this kind of sales processes, it's like sales ops. It's not operations. It's not sales. It's like the in-between. Man, if I could own that and do that really well, where these guys aren't thinking in the back of their mind, like, dang, did we send that follow-up email? Or did we ever set up the ACH? Or did we actually draft that money? They just know that, oh, Miles was in that meeting. It's going to get done. Like that confidence, there's a value to that. And I, you know, I can quantify the value because I can tell you what I make today is way more than I made when I started. And so the cool part of that, like for the young person in the room is just like, there's always going to be a percent of your job that sucks. Like, I just think that's no matter what you do, where you work, how much you make, I don't know what the percentage is. I could just make up a number, but there's going to be a portion of your job that sucks. I think that knowing that we all got to do some suck at some point, some of the part of the job that sucks, just coming to terms with that and then focusing your efforts and doing a great job with those things doesn't mean you're going to be stuck in that role forever. I actually think it's the opposite. When we see somebody at our firm, which we have 22 people now, and I'm one of the partners, so equity partner, own part of the firm now. Like that path was wild. But when we see somebody that just kills it in a role, I don't think, man, how do I keep them there? Because they're so good at that. I think like, how can I get that person to train the next person to do those things really well so I can elevate them to the next thing? Because there's something bigger that they could go take what they're doing, owning and killing it to a more valuable piece of the business, more impact to our team and to our, you know, overall growth. And so that's what I would say for the young person. I think for the older guy or girl in the kind of in the room that's looking for the service advisor, second generation, who do I pass the baton to? I think is like there is a mindset shift. Mm-hmm. I at the risk of like putting this the wrong way, like Jeff, who's our oldest partner, he'll tell you that. He's like refers to himself as the gray haired fella in the room. You know, Jeff's mid-50s and has only worked under this broker dealer, but just made 30 years in the business. Like COVID was really interesting for him because he's that old mindset work, you know, man, everybody needs to be in the office, you know, 9-10 hours a day. If they're not grinding away, they're not getting it done. And he still has that in him and it's okay. But what he's realized is like, and we don't work from home to be clear. Everybody's like in the office for the most part. But, to see a guy go from that mindset to now, he takes more vacations than ever because he doesn't have to be the one to produce it all and be the one to have to go create the growth. And that he has a lot of trust in other advisors on the team and our ops process and all that. You may be the older advisor that is in that place right now of like, if I leave for a week, this thing's going to fall apart. When you bring young talent on and you grow them the right way, you incentivize them the right way, you create the right roadmap, how they could be owners one day and buy you out or whatever's important to them. When you create that path, there's a crazy amount of peace that I get to see in a guy that a few short years ago didn't have it. And so now he gets to go visit his kids at college and isn't worried about this thing. And don't get me wrong, he still works. Like, he's just, it's in him. He's like an old school, just that guy. But we have processes. So he doesn't have to ask, hey, where are we at on something? He can just go look in the system and see this getting taken care of. And so that would be the message for sort of the older folks in the, you know, looking at this is create an opportunity. It may look a little different, but it's okay to set standards and accountability. It might not be $40 a day like it took you, but we're also, you know, we have an environment where people are, there's just a crazy transfer of wealth happening. And so when you're not just product focused, trying to sell one thing, like most people that grew up three decades ago in our industry were, there's a different approach. And I think a young, fresh, you know, mind is always valuable. It's the reason we've added so much young talent over the last couple of years to our firm. You know, we're not necessarily looking to hire a 50-year-old service advisor. You know, we're looking for the 20-something that has some grit, has some tenacity. But again, that mindset of like, nothing is beneath me. Like, I'm gonna always be the guy. Like, if the trash needs taken out, it's overflowing, I'm just take it out. I'm not gonna wonder why isn't the trash taken out? Who's supposed to take it? Just take out the trash. And like, that has gotten me in a lot of rooms that I didn't belong in, just by that mindset. I may never even touch the trash, but there were other opportunities, there were other things that happened and things that popped up, and I said, well, let me own that, let me win at that. And I think that is super valuable.
Yeah, I think there's so much opportunity in most practices today for somebody to come in and add value. And so if you come in saying, what can this do for me? You know, how can everybody around me make my life easier, help me make more money faster, versus if someone came into my firm tomorrow, like you said, and was like, what's your main objective? We're trying to grow financial planning and AUM. Great. What's the biggest weakness? How can I help there? Like, this curiosity and tenacity around like, I'm here just to help, versus can I have some extra PTO? Like, hey, yeah, I'll do a little bit of work, but this is kind of confusing, so I just didn't finish it.
Yeah.
The what you're describing is unique. And so if you can bring that to a practice, whether you're coming into the industry new or you're, you know, somewhat experienced, but maybe like, hey, I think if I teamed up with somebody, I can kind of be rocket fuel to their business. Unfortunately, I think that's rare. And I've had a handful of young people join my practice and they hang out for a year or two, but then they stall out. We try to hold them accountable. And it's like, I guess you can't hang, but if you can bring some tenacity and some focus to a practice and have this ability to be like, hey, I'm here to help. I do think the business owes you some clarity on what your path is going to be. I think if Gavin was like, Miles, just work hard for 10 years and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you maybe would have hung out that
long. I would probably wouldn't have lasted. That's for sure. No. Yeah. So I think that there's the marrying of the two. The challenge I've seen too is like, a 55, 60-year-old advisor that's built a great practice, but doesn't really have enterprise value, meaning he has no succession plan. He's not really sure how to get out, no exit. He doesn't know, he or she doesn't necessarily know what that path is supposed to look like. The cool part is there's a lot of companies out there that have figured it out or that are working on it. I mean, I do think a lot of these larger warehouses or broker dealers are working on figuring it out, sort of the transfer and transition, buyouts even. But there's a marrying of the two of like, you got to have an owner who's willing to let go and isn't going to try to be the guy, the go-to guy. Like there's a piece about not being the guy that has to pick up the phone every time. And then still getting paid to be the guy that picks up the phone every time is how that works when you create an enduring firm.
And it probably takes a lot to give them that peace of mind though, right? Like
sure.
For them to hand over trust of clients and financial decisions. I think there has to be 2 years of hard work and like trust.
A lot of collaboration, crazy amount of collaboration. Yeah.
So nobody's listening now and they're like, Sten, Miles, easy for you to say. I've tried it. It hasn't worked. Don't give up. Maybe like in my situation, I need to hire better. I need to have a better onboarding. I need to have a better path. I need to be more clear. Because my story was like, hey, show up in a firm and just work really hard and figure it out mostly on your own. And so I think sometimes we can lead the way we came into the business, which is maybe not always healthy.
That was my point, is like what worked for this guy to get to 55, 60, and he's got a couple hundred million or management, like it isn't going to look the same for the next generation. That's okay. But be open-minded. And then on the other end of the spectrum, the young person, like go at it with some grace to your senior advisor, partner, or whatever, that they're still trying to figure it out, but trusting that they're going to figure it out. There may come a time where you realize they're not going to figure it out, and that's okay. They had to make a tough decision at that point. But as long as you're on that journey together, trying to create a path that makes sense for both of you, I think that's just like that's where magic happens. The last thing I was going to say kind of on grit is at some point, I don't know if it was like a carrot that was dangled in front of me years ago or when it happened, but in my mind, it was like, okay, I can own this thing. Like, mm-hmm. And it was this owner's mindset that I adopted even as a 20-something-year-old that hasn't left with me even as I went through the process, you know, a year ago of buying into the firm. And so as I operated like an owner in just making simple decisions, like who doesn't want to promote that guy? Like who doesn't want to create more opportunity for him? And I see that in other guys as well coming up the ranks, other female, you know, we got some ladies that are going to crush it, that are doing incredible things. Like there's the pie is so infinite. It's crazy. And so
that is who wouldn't want that person on the team.
Right.
We all have to look in the mirror and be like, are we being that person or are we being the teammate that sits on the bench complaining, doesn't take out the trash, doesn't stay after practice and help out, always shows up late, yet we're expecting to be in the starting lineup and get all the praise.
Right.
So I love that heart. And as you talk about it, it feels like that's who you are. I do think there's something about a younger generation needs to figure out a way to tap into that. And I think some of that could be mentorship. I've had to go to some people and be like, you can come and ask me to help you understand this better. Because for me, I didn't have much mentorship. I kind of had to figure it out the hard way by messing up. And now I look back and I'm like, man, if I just would have known that sooner, right. Like you said, the owner's mindset, the grit. So as we wrap up, last question, if you could go back and you look at your journey, and obviously the right stuff happened at the right time, which is awesome. Some people may be like, wow, sounds like that was really easy for you, Miles. Trust me, guys, it wasn't. It's after it. What would you try to say to somebody that is 24, 25, maybe in the business, thinking about joining a team, thinking about being on their own?
Yeah, I think gone are the days where you just sit in an office by yourself and build a firm. I think being a part of a team, being a part of something that's bigger than yourself is the path forward, is the opportunity to create true wealth, true generational wealth, becoming a business owner, working with other businesses. Wherever you find your lane, as a guy that, again, didn't graduate in finance, didn't have a finance background, didn't have like this trust fund and it just was a safety net. It was like, go figure it out or, you know, starve. Literally was my, that was just the dynamics of my life for a season. As somebody who started there, I mentioned part of my path and then last year, you know, brought over nearly 25 million of new assets personally, closed over 100,000 of fees that I was involved in. Like, I'm not unique in this crazy unicorn. It's just that I did the right things for a season of time, had plenty of at-bats, and kept showing up. Like, just showing up is such a big part of it. And to the young person that's trying to find the path, like, if this is what you want to do, you got to burn the boats. Like, most people have heard that expression, that saying, like, you got to be all in, do the things that scare you, that don't excite you, and that's where you win. Because that phone is heavy. Like the phone is a brick that's 100 pounds sometimes. Still pick up the phone. Call that person that scares you. You'd be surprised. They might want to get lunch with you. They might want to have a conversation. They might have been just waiting on you to make that call. Yeah. And so having the grit and tenacity to just do the things that most people aren't going to do because it's a little scary, a little hard, is what I think ultimately creates a, you know, crazy opportunity to be a financial advisor. I mean, it's like the best job ever.
Oh, and yeah. So, I have so many clients like, man, if I go back in time, I'd do your job.
right. Yeah. You're like, no, I need you to stay where you're at.
Well, man, and I'll say to the experienced advisors out there that might be sharing some of my frustration right now with trying to find a Miles, trying to get better at how do you onboard somebody that's new to your firm, looking back and learning from, you know, past tries that didn't go as well. It's worth it. If you feel stuck and frustrated in our community, eAdvisorNetwork.com, we have so much content. I'll share the job descriptions we have with you. If it is just a lack of confidence and information that's stopping you from building your team so you can have more freedom, that's not a good excuse. Like, we have that stuff. We'll share it with you. We got it from a bunch of other advisors because this is already a lonely business. And if you are a younger person looking like, join a great team, like that'll be rocket fuel to your growth. You'll get a bunch of reps, like Miles said. There's a better way than just hanging out alone and just letting this thing slowly ride out.
No, that's great, man. I think just a ton of resources out there. Not everybody has it figured out. Most people don't. But I think as people are progressing and trying to figure it out, like, again, as a younger guy, like showing grace to those people that, man, they're doing what's best. They're trying to navigate these things and knowing that some of the biggest broker dealers in the country haven't figured it out. Like, it's okay. So that's awesome, man. Thanks again for having me. I appreciate the time.
You bet, brother. We'll catch up soon. Sten here. Hope you're doing well. I want to ask you for a favor. My legacy team is growing, and I'm looking to fill a couple positions. I'm looking for an experienced advisor, somebody that can come in right away and start serving clients to help us handle the overflow of opportunities we have. But I'm also looking for up-and-coming advisors, a pair planner, junior advisor that wants to learn with me to come help level up our team, but also allow me to help them level up and scale their business quicker over time. If you are interested in this opportunity or you know somebody that would be a potentially a great fit, please email us at arome@investlegacy.com. We're happy to follow up with anybody, have a conversation with them. So if you can keep your eyes and ears open, I'd really appreciate it.